COT-19-830 in the matter of the petition of Ku'ule Higashi Kanahele and Ahiena Kanahele. Arguing for the appellants, Lance Collins, also appearing, Bianca Isaki. Arguing for Apalee Land Use Commission, Miranda C. Steed. Arguing for Apalee University of Hawaii, Jesse K. Suki. Also appearing, Joseph Katowski. Arguing for Apalee TMT International Observatory LLC, Ross T. Shinmaya. Also appearing, J. Douglas Ng. Argument on the merits.
All right. Good morning. Aloha, everyone. Our proceeding today is being broadcast live on the Judiciary's YouTube channel. And we'd like to thank Judge Lisa Cataldo for sitting in with the court today. I guess we've had the appearances of our attorneys entered for the record. Just to confirm, Mr. Collins, you have 15 minutes for your opening and with 15 minutes reserved for rebuttal, correct? All right. Ms. Steed, you'll have 15 minutes. Mr. Suki, 5 minutes. And Mr. Shinyama has 10 minutes, correct? All right. And then we'll give a light at the end of your allotted time, Ms. Steed. We're going to give you a warning 10 minutes in just to let you know you're getting close to the end. And then we'll go back to Mr. Collins. Mr. Collins, please proceed.
Aloha, ai, olo, olo, ai.
I'm sorry, you can take your mask off when you argue, if you wish. Okay. You don't have to, but if you wish to take your mask off, any of our attorneys may do so.
Sorry. Aloha, ai, olo, olo, ai, ka'aha, ho, kolo, kolo, kie, kie. Aloha, and may it please the court. This appeal concerns the jurisdiction of the Land Use Commission and its power to classify and reclassify lands into districts. The commission concluded that it lacked jurisdiction to interpret Chapter 205 regarding lands that had been classified into the conservation district because the land board is statutorily authorized to regulate permissible uses within conservation district lands under Chapter 183C. The Kanaheles do not seek the commission to regulate uses within the conservation district, but rather for a commission declaration that the present uses on land on top Mauna Kea are appropriate within the urban district and not the conservation district. This petition is not about challenging or overruling decisions by the land board, such as the approval of a conservation district use permit for the TMT project. To accept the commission's reasoning, no land in the agricultural, rural, or urban districts could ever be redistricted if the counties had in any way granted any kind of approval for any parcel of land based upon the county's zoning ordinances regulating uses within those districts, because such a ruling would involve, quote, statutory provisions not administered by the commission. Such a reading results in an absurdity in the same way that the commission's decision here frustrates the objectives and effectiveness of Hawaii's land use scheme. Under the commission's reasoning, they cannot consider whether lands in the conservation district ought to be reclassified because they would have to apply Chapter 183C. Yet the commission does reclassify lands from the conservation district regularly. And the petition itself cited two ongoing proceedings where parcels had authorized conservation district use permits and were seeking to be reclassified into the urban district.
Mr. Collins, could you address the issue of whether the court has jurisdiction over the appeal?
Yes, Your Honor. Our contention is that HRS 91-8 indicates that appeals of declaratory order petitions should be treated as any other agency decision. And under the holding in Lingle versus HGEA, that decision is, those other agency decisions are final orders of a contested case proceeding.
Mr. Collins, didn't Lingle specifically say that they may be appealed to the circuit court?
Well, Lingle did say the circuit court, but at the time, 91-14 indicated that agency appeals were appealed to the circuit court. At that time. Of course, there's been a number of changes to 91-14, for example, the environmental court. And so now the statute says to the circuit court or the environmental court within 30 days. And then, of course, at the end of that section in Section B, it says, except if a statute authorizes a direct appeal to the Supreme Court or the Intermediate Court of Appeals.
So is there a statute that specifically says a decision on a request for declaratory relief is directly appealable to the Supreme Court?
No, there's not a statute that says that. The statute says that the statute says that final decisions of an aggrieved party from a contested case can appeal directly to the Supreme Court with respect to Chapter 205.
Okay. Are you arguing that there was a contested case hearing?
We are not arguing that there was a contested case hearing. The Canaheles did in their petition very clearly describe their property interests protected by the Due Process Clause, but they are not arguing that the petition for a declaratory order process was a contested case hearing.
And you're also not arguing that they are aggrieved parties?
The Canaheles are an aggrieved party.
Under 9114?
Not from a contested case, but from the decision under 91-8.
I'm sorry, Mr. Collins, could you be a little bit more clear about what your position is as to why this court would at this point have jurisdiction to consider the appeal from the Land Use Commission decision?
Well, it's simple, at least for the Canaheles position. 91-8 indicates that appeals of petitions for declaratory orders should be treated as other agency orders. And 91-14B indicates that appeals of agency decisions in contested cases are to be appealed to the circuit or the environmental court, except if a statute specifically provides a direct appeal to the Supreme Court or the Intermediate Court of Appeals. There is a statute under Chapter 205 that does indicate that contested case appeals of final decisions in contested cases are to be appealed directly to the Supreme Court. That was first under Act 48 and then extended in 2016, and then the sunset provision removed in 2019.
And if there is not a contested case involved in this matter, if the decision of the Land Use Commission is not a contested case, then what's your position as to how this court has jurisdiction?
So the position is that following Lingle, in this particular case, the appropriate forum to appeal the agency's decision would be the Supreme Court. Because Lingle, I mean, the holding in Lingle is that the appeal was appeal in Lingle versus HGA for UPW was to the circuit court, but that was because appeals in that case went to the circuit court. Whereas in this case, appeals of contested cases in front of the labor board went to the circuit court. They didn't have a direct appeal. And so the holding in Lingle was that applying what was the plain language in 91-14, that the result was the circuit court did have jurisdiction. But it wasn't, there wasn't a principle that inherently made it that it was the circuit court would obtain jurisdiction in the appeal, because appellate jurisdiction is purely statutory. So if 91-14 said that it had to go to the district court or had to go to the Intermediate Court of Appeals, the holding in Lingle would have been that 91-8 petitions, decisions on those would be appealable to whichever court 91-14 assigned review to.
Coming back to the sort of merits of what the Land Use Commission could do or couldn't do with regard to the petition. There are aspects of the statute of Chapter 205 that of course acknowledge the authority or jurisdiction of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. I think 205.5, conservation districts shall be governed by the Department of Land and Natural Resources pursuant to Chapter 183C. So there appears to be a recognition of a robust role for the department and the board. What's your answer to the suggestion that once the designation has been made, a redesignation that in essence questions permits that have been issued by the board is not within the contemplation of the statute?
Well, if land is if a district boundary amendment occurs for land that's in the conservation district and to say the urban district, then the permit to do uses within the conservation district would be moot, but it wouldn't invalidate the permit. You only need a conservation district use permit if the land is in the conservation district. So redistricting land out of the conservation district just makes the approval moot. It doesn't invalidate it. And that's at least the two petitions that the two district boundary amendment petitions that were cited in the petition demonstrate that there are uses in the conservation district that are permitted that are subject to district boundary amendments to be in the urban district. And there's many reasons why that is, because the kinds of uses in the urban district are far greater than what could be permitted, or except on Mauna Kea, what could be permitted in the conservation district.
Mr. Collins, I'm sorry. I missed which statute you said indicated gives this court jurisdiction over this direct appeal. Which statute is it?
It's 91-8 and 91-14 as stated by Lingle versus HG.
But 91-14 does say circuit court or environmental court, correct?
Except in the last part of section B, it says if there's a
statute. Another statute. So what is that other statute?
That statute is 205, apologize. It's
205-19,
I think.
But that only applies to contested cases, and you've indicated this is not a contested case.
Right, but 91-14B also only says contested cases. It's Lingle versus HGA's interpretation of 91-8's final sentence. Which
I see, so it's under B.
Yes.
Mr. Collins, didn't you just say that appellate jurisdiction is, and I think you said, purely statutory?
Yes.
So then how can you bring Lingle in to give us appellate jurisdiction when that's a case and not a statute?
Yes, Your Honor. The appellate jurisdiction is conferred ultimately by the final sentence in 91-8, which says that decisions in petitions for declaratory order shall be treated as other agency orders. Lingle versus
available to the circuit court.
In Lingle versus HGA read that meant that following 91-14, that the appeal in Lingle versus HGA, UPW's appeal, would go to the circuit court, because appeals of the labor board go to the circuit court. But in this instance, appeals of contested cases to the LUC come to the Supreme Court.
Please continue.
Okay. One of the broader concerns, the petition itself focuses on Mauna Kea, but one of the broader concerns of allowing the Land Use Commission's claim of lack of jurisdiction to stand is that the Land Use Commission then would not be able to review other forms of piecemeal approvals in other districts to say that actually uses of this land should be in the urban district or some other district. For example, there could be a series of special use permits or some other kind of county approval in an agricultural district, which essentially creates a de facto.
Well, we have that case already, right? The Sierra Club case back in 2000, where the LUC did rule that the uses in an agricultural district were not consistent with the agricultural district, so suggesting that a boundary amendment would be required. But here we have, the LUC does seem to have authority to regulate uses within an agricultural district, but how do you get around the specific statutory provisions that say that the BLNR gets to decide uses within the conservation district?
So the Land Use Commission, the Land Board's jurisdiction is to govern uses within a conservation district. The Land Use Commission's power and duty is to determine the appropriate district for all of the lands in the state, not just the conservation district. And so its duties obviously overlap with the Land Board's, But it does have a distinct role. The land board doesn't consider, would this be more appropriate in the urban district? Would this be more appropriate in the rural district? They just govern uses within the conservation district, whereas the Land Use Commission is supposed to have a broader, expansive look at the uses of land statewide, and what district they should be in. And so there is an overlap, but it is the powers and duties are slightly different.
Mr. Collins, following up on Justice McKenna's point, I was wondering if you could help me with the position, and I'll certainly be asking the state as well. What is the recourse for the community that's empowered to seek declaratory judgments under HRS 91-8? What is the recourse for the community in terms of seeking declaratory judgment about whether or not a land use boundary change is necessary, or in other words, whether or not the land uses on a particular land class, classification of land are consistent with the classification? I say that having seen that the chair of the Land Use Commission said, if it's not up to this commission to ensure that the four district lines are respected, I don't know who it's up to. That's not a case, that's not an ability to go on a single CDUP in front of the BLNR and contest the entirety of their actions that are all the previous ones. Says there's no avenue, and I think this is why the chair was saying that it appears if the Land Use Commission is not able to make a determination about land classifications, that there wouldn't be an avenue. So from your point of view, what is the avenue now, according to the Land Use Commission? If a declaratory judgment like this is being sought, is the idea that they have to go to the land board?
Well, the land board doesn't have jurisdiction over 205, cannot determine that lands are more appropriate in a different district.
Then where does the community go? What agency can they turn to?
There is none. Because,
what about the Office of Planning?
Well, the Office of Planning doesn't have the power to issue declaratory orders, and they can, I guess, give an advisory opinion, or they could issue a memorandum giving their view.
Don't they have to do a periodic reviews whether the uses of the land are consistent with the classification?
They do have to do periodic reviews.
And isn't that an opportunity for plaintiffs to seek some sort of alteration or change at that point in time?
I guess in theory, yes, but ultimately it's the Land Use Commission that determines which land goes into which district, and the Office of Planning. Sometimes they listen to the Office of Planning and sometimes they don't. In this case, they did follow the Office of Planning decision, but there are other instances.
Does the Office of Planning have within its prescribed duties analysis of what constitutes an urban district, an agricultural district, a conservation district, a rural district?
Yeah, I'm not aware of that, Your Honor. I would say that there are many agencies at the federal level and here at the state level that have seemingly overlapping jurisdiction, and one where there's agencies that have relatively specific requirements to do. But the power to district and redistrict land is an entirely separate power than regulating uses within a district. And I would just like to call the court's attention to two statutes. One of them is 343-5A, where uses within the conservation district create a trigger for environmental review. And then in 1987, a reclassification of any land classified as the conservation district by the LUC also was a separate trigger for environmental review. So as early as 1987, the legislature identified those two powers as being distinct. That's one instance. And then the other instance was just passed by the legislature this session, Act 255, which will take about a decade from now, both the powers of the land board and the powers of the land use commission, and will fold it into a Mauna Kea authority. So the legislature sees these two powers and duties as distinct, and although they overlap, one does not exclude the power of the other, because the logical consequence of that is that any approval, implicit zoning estoppel argument that, well, once you get an approval from one agency, then no other agency that may have overlapping authority can say something.
Mr. Collins, what is the relief that the Kanahele seek? If you were to prevail on this appeal, what would happen next? What would be the next steps in this case?
Your Honor, the matter would be remanded to the Land Use Commission for further proceedings go into the substantive merits of whether or not declaratory order should issue that the land atop Mauna Kea should be more appropriately in a different.
And if that happened, what would happen at that point? So there is a declaratory order issued that the uses now in that area, or future uses, which I think are two separate things, and or future uses are inconsistent with the conservation district. What would happen then, or what could happen then?
Well, I think for current and basically approved future uses that don't have any further discretionary permits required, I don't know that there would be any practical difference. But for future uses, I think that the land board at some level would have to consider the view of the Land Use Commission on that. But to the extent that they would consider that and what that would look like is, I think, something beyond the what the Kanaheles had envisioned for their petition.
So future permits seeking development in this district, that would be something that would presumably be taken into account, or should be taken into account, by the land board. That would be at least one outcome that you would seek.
Yeah, I think, for example, when like the EPA and OSHA have overlapping, jurisdiction with respect to pollution and in the workplace. And I think that they will consider each other's views with respect to that overlapping jurisdiction. And, depending on how a certain decision was considered, we'll give it more or less weight.
Mr. Collins, I just wanted to be clear about the position that is being taken in your view by the state. I'll be asking them this too, but with respect to the power of the Land Use Commission to enter declaratory judgment decisions, Land Use Commission acknowledges that it normally would have the power to issue declaratory judgment action in this case, but it seems that the position they're taking is the duty of the Land Use Commission with respect to declaratory judgments with the Conservation District, which, as I understand it, is about half the state. With the Conservation District, they've lost their authority because of the way that 205 defines the authority for the land board. However, they have still the authority to issue declaratory relief, declaratory judgments with respect to the other land use classifications. Obviously, agricultural, which is the Sierra Club case that has been cited, but I assume that from your point of view means that the citizens have access to the Land Use Commission for declaratory judgment also in the rural districts and also in the districts that have to do with, I guess, land use classifications other than the conservation district. Is that your understanding?
Well, I believe that may generally be what the state's position is. Our position is that there's no statutory authority to carve out the conservation district, whether or not land should be or should not be in that district, carve out from the other districts. There's no legislative intent supporting that. The plain language in the statute says that the land board's powers is to govern use within the district, but it says nothing about the constituting of the boundaries of the district itself. That's always been the Land Use Commission's power. and they continue to entertain petitions for district boundary amendments for lands in the conservation district into other districts.
And the counties have the opportunity to administer the urban district, right?
Yes.
The fact that the counties have that opportunity doesn't foreclose the Land Use Commission from making declaratory judgment actions. But in this case, is it your understanding the argument is that because at the conservation district, the land board can issue and does issue conservation district use permits like it did on the mountain, that it's accepted and carved out so that the Land Use Commission can't make declaratory judgment decisions? Is that your understanding?
Even if that argument were true, it would only be limited to the 13 subparcels of land in the larger precinct that the petition is about. I mean, there's a whole swath of the area of land in the petition that hasn't gotten a land use conservation district use permit. So, I mean, that argument really only applies. I mean, what the appellee's argument is that the approval of the TMT permit somehow excludes the Land Use Commission from considering any land, apparently not just the TMT land, but any land anywhere around it for the Land Use Commission to entertain this kind of petition.
Is it your understanding that it pertains to the entire conservation district, that the Land Use Commission's foreclosed from declaratory judgments and this?
Well, that's
this
the
land use designation.
Your Honor, that's what the decision of the Land Use Commission says, that they don't have jurisdiction over
Mr. Collins, I heard you say that there isn't a statute that specifically carves out the conservation district. Doesn't 205-5A specifically say conservation district shall be governed by the Department of Land and Natural Resources pursuant to Chapter 183C?
Yes, so that governs the uses within the district, but it doesn't address the power to classify and reclassify land from the conservation district into another district. It's a power to govern uses within the district, but it doesn't speak anything to removing lands from the district or adding lands into the district, which is the power.
Under our card case, we discussed the use of declaratory ruling procedures, and I think we limited it, and we said it only makes sense where the applicability of relevant law is unknown, either because the agency has not yet acted upon a particular factual circumstance or for some other reason. But in this particular case, haven't two other entities already decided and explicitly addressed what is the permissible land use? Because they've already said the land use is permissible.
For the 13 subparcels within the larger precinct, the land board has granted conservation district use permits for those activities. But this does not fall under the situation of CARD because first of all, it doesn't address the entire land area that's subject of the petition. And second of all, our position is that an approval by the land board or by a county zoning authority cannot create sort of an implied zoning estoppel for the Land Use Commission to determine whether or not certain land is appropriately in one district or the other.
I just want to come back to the next steps of where this could lead. If there were to be a ruling on remand that the current situation in this district is inconsistent with the conservation district designation, could not someone come in and petition to have it reclassified, or couldn't someone come in and seek injunctive relief to have the structures that make it non-conforming removed or other action taken? Because you said it wouldn't really affect them, and I'm trying to understand. I understand maybe the petition itself wouldn't really affect them, but what about the next steps that could happen after that? Where might it go?
Your Honor, I'm not familiar with a cause of action. It seems that the case law has been very hostile to giving the Land Use Commission any authority to enforce anything. I can't imagine what would be the basis to grant some kind of injunctive relief for something that's already been approved. There's all sorts of due process issues involved with that as well. But as for future use, I mean, no one's entitled to future approvals. So that's why I think a declaratory order by the Land Use Commission, the result of that would be that it would have some kind of impact or implication for the land board or 10 years from now, the Mauna Kea Oversight Authority.
Thank you. Anything further at this point?
Your Honor, I would, if I have any time, I would like to reserve the balance of my time.
We'll give you, I'll give you some more time on rebuttal. We've used up a lot of the time that you had reserved. So we'll hear from the other other attorneys and then come back to you, Mr. Collins.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. First, we'll switch out the podium. All right, Ms. Steed.
Thank you, Chief Justice. I will take off my mask if that's all right. Thank you. Good morning, Chief Justice, Your Honors. We are here today to examine a denial of a petition for declaratory relief. But before we can get to the merits of this case, we have to ask if there is subject matter jurisdiction over the instant appeal. As appellants have noted in response to questions, there is no actual statute that authorizes this court to hear a direct appeal of a denial for petition for declaratory relief from the LUC. Instead, what we have is Chapter 205.19, which authorizes a direct appeal of a contested case before the LUC, and we have the Lingle case. Lingle very clearly articulated that a court for appellate jurisdiction must have authority from statutes. And in this case, we have a statute that authorizes a contested case hearing and nothing else. Nowhere in the statute in 205.19 does it say declaratory relief. It specifically, even if its title says contested case hearing. Lingle read 91.8 and 91.14 together to give circuit courts jurisdiction over other agency decisions. This case could have been brought before the environmental court. This court case could have been brought before the circuit court. It was not. It was brought directly to this court under a statute that does not authorize a declaratory relief petition. Now, even if this court does have jurisdiction, the LUC's decision to deny the petition for declaratory relief should still be affirmed. And the reason is that the LUC has the task of determining where districts in this state are located. They're drawing lines on the map to determine where the district is. The Board of Land and Natural Resources, as has been discussed, has the authority under Chapter 183C to determine what permitted uses are. This is a very clear distinction between the statutes. One, the LUC has the power to look at where the districts are, and the other has, the board has the power to determine what uses are permitted. Now,
Council, what if the board decided to allow a high-rise, a cluster of high-rise residential development in a conservation district?
Well, for that process,
pursuant to a CEDA.
Okay.
And are you saying that the Land Use Commission would be without subject matter jurisdiction to say that that is absolutely prohibited pursuant to the statutes?
Yes, Your Honor, because for that process to happen, any opposition to that high-rise proposal under a CDUP would be properly brought in a contested case hearing before the Board of Land and Natural Resources. Any adverse ruling or aggrieved party in that process could then appeal actually up to this, either the circuit court or this court, and have this court or even a circuit court review and determine if that was a proper use. So really the final authority over the board's decision actually does rest with this court, as has been decided in other contested case hearings regarding CDUPs.
I'm not sure I understand your position here. The scenario that was suggested to you where you industrialize, say, the top of Mauna Kea or a place in the conservation district, and the citizens want to resort to the Land Use Commission and bring a declaratory judgment action, would be precluded from doing that? Precluded from, like in the Sierra Club case, for example, where you had the community come forward and say that the use of the agricultural district wasn't appropriate, and the uses needed to be challenged, and they therefore went to the Land Use Commission and got a declaratory judgment. Why wouldn't the community have the same access to this agency, the Land Use Commission, to deal with any industrialization of a very important parcel like the top of Mauna Kea?
Oh, well, first, I'd like to distinguish the Sierra Club case dealt with an agricultural district, and the permitted uses are properly brought for a declaratory relief before the Land Use Commission in the case of an agricultural district. But here, the statutes clearly indicate that it is the Board of Land and Natural Resources that governs permitted uses.
It was the legislative intent when the legislature gave to DLNR the authority to administer the conservation land. It was the intent of the legislature to remove the authority from the Land Use Commission to be able to make declaratory judgments about whether the entire conservation district of the state, almost half of it, is not subject to the same protections through a declaratory judgment that's sought by the community?
Well, yes, because 183 does specifically give it to the Board of Land and Natural Resources. And to your point of recourse that you made earlier with Mr. Collins, in this case, in terms of looking at uses that are already permitted and built, yes, those have already been litigated. But looking at, let's say, again, with Justice McKenna's example of a high rise, the community, of course, would be able to oppose that request for a CDUP. They'd be able to go before the board, request a contested case hearing, and go through that process. And if still aggrieved from a contested case hearing, appeal all the way up to this court for...
That's on an individual project. I mean, are you suggesting that the option of asking for a change in land use designation from conservation to urban is no longer available under, I guess, under your analysis that has to do with the interpretation of the statutory framework for land use with respect to the Land Use Commission and the Land Board?
Well, reclassification or redesignation of districts are a distinct issue from examining and determining what permitted uses are. So
okay.
The LU...
I'm with you there. So let's assume that in this case, the Conahalies are doing that. They're basically saying, we would like to know whether or not the use of this parcel is consistent, as in the Sierra Club case, the use of the parcel is consistent with its designation. So why would the Land Use Commission be precluded from exercising the authority that it seems to be, from your point of view, free to exercise in all the other districts, but just not the conservation district?
The Land Use Commission would have the power to reclassify even Mauna Kea. However, that has to be done through a district boundary amendment, which was not brought in this case.
But this is the whole point of the declaratory judgment action, isn't it? To have a determination about whether or not it's time for a reclassification.
The LUC reclassifies when it's presented with a petition for a district boundary amendment. It does not sua sponte initiate that process. So an entity would have to come forward and petition for a boundary amendment. In this case, that was not done. The petitioners or appellant now did not request a petition for a district boundary amendment.
Is it your position that citizens cannot, they just don't have any standing to seek relief from the Land Use Commission for a declaratory action as to whether or not the conservation district is being turned into an industrial use?
That's not within the statutory authority of the LUC because of that distinct division between 205 and 183C. Again, citizens want...
You continue to say distinct, but this idea that we should interpret Chapter 205 to mean that the authority of the Land Use Commission was taken away and basically transferred to the conservation district doesn't have any kind of specific language that I can see statutorily, and it's difficult to imply that since the purpose of the Land Use Commission is a purpose that applies to the entire state, not just to everything but the conservation district, right? I mean, the purpose provision of the Land Use Commission says that this chapter shall be liberally construed to preserve, protect, and encourage the development and preservation of lands in the state for those uses to which they are best suited in the interests of public health and welfare of the people of the state of Hawaii. But the the chapter doesn't seem to have a provision that says except for the conservation district.
Well, I think that goes to a point that was brought up earlier during Apelli's argument, and that is that Chapter 205 does contemplate 183C, and that's under 205-5A. And here, the fact that the legislature specifically called out Chapter 183 is indicative of the fact that the board does still have that jurisdiction. So,
but you know, we're aware of what the 205 says, but you know, my concern is, let's say 183 does say there can be no wastewater plants in a conservation district. What if BLNR, this isn't going to happen, but what if BLNR said, we're going to allow a bunch of wastewater treatment plants within the conservation district, and we're going to grant a CDUP for that? And you're saying that the only remedy is an appeal. And what if the people opposing it don't have the money to put up a bond to stop it? I mean, 205.13 says, if any person cited for violation under this chapter fails to remove such violation, they'll subject to a new and separate violation. It's a limited enforcement authority, but are you suggesting that the Land Use Commission can't issue any declaratory order saying BLNR cannot construct hundreds of acres of high-rise developments in a conservation district, or create a bunch of wastewater treatment plants within a conservation district? Land Use Commission has no power whatsoever. I think it's one thing to say that the Land Use Commission, is going to defer to the board as to the uses. But it's another thing to say Land Use Commission has no subject matter jurisdiction.
In this case, the legislature has limited the authority of the LUC, and that is what we are holding. In the examples that you gave of a wastewater treatment or high-rise condominiums being constructed, again, as your question pointed out, those would go before the board for a CDUP, and any interested party during that process can request a contested case hearing, which if the board determines that they're entitled to one, they will hold that contested case hearing. And if the board determines that they're not entitled to one and they receive that denial is still appealable. And that appeal can go, again, all the way up to this court to determine that the board exceeded its authority, that the board was wrong. The board should not have issued those CDUP permits, and that the board has not acted within what is a conservation district. But again, the statutory scheme here does designate the power to the board in terms of permitted uses in a conservation district. So our position is that the LUC does not have authority to review those permitted uses.
Oh, but that's an interesting argument, because I don't think that Conahalas are saying that the LUC needs to issue permits or make a decision on permits. I mean, the point of a declaratory judgment is to declare what the law is. And it's clear that that power is available to the community. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that power is available to the community through the Land Use Commission and all the other land use classifications that we've discussed, like urban or rural. And here you have, you know, there's testimony before the Land Use Commission from the chair of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, who is asking for help from this Land Use Commission, whose job it is, clearly, to protect the other land use classifications, the other parts of the state at least, from illegal use of the land that's inconsistent with the land use classification. But in this case, where you've got the chair of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs asking for help in the conservation district, the biggest district in the state, the position of the Land Use Commission is no, they're not going to entertain a declaratory judgment action. Do you think we should interpret the designation a power for the Board of Land and Natural Resources to issue permits in the Conservation District to mean that the Land Use Commission can't respond when you have a part of the community like this asking for help?
I mean,
I don't see the legislative history that says that. I don't see a specific statute that says the Land Use Commission's power is set aside when it comes to the Conservation District, particularly this very important power that might be considered their signature power, which is to decide what the land use designation should be for our state.
The Kanaheles have asked for a declaratory relief or a declaration that the current permitted uses on Mauna Kea are consistent with permitted uses in an urban district. To make that declaration requires that the LUC determined that what the board determined, which is that the current permitted uses are appropriate in a conservation district, is incorrect, because what is appropriate in an urban district is clearly, as we've pointed out with the examples of high-rise buildings or wastewater treatments, not going to be appropriate in a conservation district. Conservation districts are, of course, much stricter in what's allowed. And so the board, in sitting with its authority and determining what is a permitted use, to then have another agency come by and with a declaratory relief say, actually, that's an urban use that you've designated in this district, is to essentially launch a collateral attack on the board.
Is to what?
Launch a collateral attack on the board's authority and decision-making.
Well, good. If it turns out that something's being done that's in violation of the law, it might be important to make that declaration. In the Sierra Club case, that's essentially what the Land Use Commission did. It stepped forward and says, you cannot use the agricultural district in this way. It violates the law. So, of course, I mean, it may be that the Land Use Commission says something that indicates that the, in this case, an agency, another agency, the Board of Land and Natural Resources, is not following the law.
I would also like to point out that many of those decisions by the Board of Land and Natural Resources have been reviewed by this court as well and upheld. So it's not just an attack on the board's decision making, but also this court's.
We don't know if you want to call it an attack, would be successful. It may be that the decision of the Land Use Commission that conflicts or that overrules what the land board's going to do, or makes it clear that the land board's use of the parcel is inconsistent with its land use designation, isn't held up on appeal, and it may get judicial review, but it doesn't take away the importance of the Land Use Commission doing its job to protect the conservation district consistent with the protections that are also applied to the other land use designations in the state.
But to reiterate that point respectfully, Your Honor, Sierra Club dealt with the agricultural district, which the land use does have more authority to regulate, because that authority hasn't been given away by a statute to another agency. So there's no analogous 183C for an agricultural district. Rather, the 183C specific to conservation districts, which is what we're dealing with here. So I respectfully don't think that the Sierra Club case is applicable in that sense because of that distinction in the statutes between conservation and agriculture. And additionally, if this is an attack, then if this is an attack on the board's decision making, it's also an attack on this court's decision making and an opportunity to relitigate a case that has been decided in this court.
Ms. Steed, as opposed to taking away the commission's authority to looking to considering conservation districts, aren't there specific statutes that allow the commission to look at activities in agricultural districts, 205-5B, and special permits for agriculture and rural districts under 205-6 specifically empowered the commission to look at agricultural and rural districts, and also special permits under 205-5C. However, the legislature never delegated authority specifically to the Commission for Conservation Districts. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. And that is, again, why our position is that 183C clearly designates that authority within the board. I see that I am...
If you'd like to wrap up with any final thoughts, I was waiting.
Thank you. Thank you, CJ.
Please.
So to conclude, our position is first that there is no subject matter jurisdiction because no statute clearly authorizes the direct appeal of a declaratory relief from the LUC, and that even if there is jurisdiction, the LUC's position should still be affirmed because the authority to regulate permitted uses in a conservation district rests solely with the board under 183C. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Steed. We'll switch out the podium and then hear from Mr. Suki. Taking off my mask.
Good morning. May it please the court, Jesse Suki for the University of Hawaii. Petitioners would like to revisit the uses allowed and permitted by BLNR within the conservation district. However, as this court has stated in Citizens Against Reckless Development card, HRS Chapter 91-8 was not intended to allow review of concrete agency decisions for which other means of review are available. The LUC properly rejected petitioners' request for lack of jurisdiction because the relief they sought are not within the jurisdiction of the LUC to grant. Petitioners' requests for relief are very similar. They essentially asked the LUC to determine that current uses are not appropriate in the conservation district, and therefore, the LUC should determine that a district boundary amendment is required by someone. The statutory framework for regulating uses within the conservation district, however, is unambiguous and clear on its face, and it bears repeating. HRS Section 205-2A provides that the LUC places lands within the four districts of the state: agricultural, urban, rural, conservation. HRS Section 205-5A expressly states that the conservation district shall be governed by the Department of Land and Natural Resources pursuant to HRS 183C. And the legislature in 183C explicitly states that BLNR, DLNR have exclusive jurisdiction over conservation district lands, including, among other things, adopting administrative rules that identify those uses and regulating those activities.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you used the word exclusive. So if you could help me, Mr. Suki, when you use the word exclusive, is it your argument that that language, which gives DLNR exclusive authority to administer conservation lands, also impliedly or directly, although I don't see how you could say directly, but impliedly says that conservation district is excepted from the declaratory relief statute that provides for the opportunity to get a declaratory judgment determination from an agency? I assume your answer is no. A citizen could go to an agency and get a declaratory judgment about the law as it applies to the conservation district, right?
Yes. And then this.
Okay, so you've got the chair of OHA going to the agency that's in charge of land use classifications, not challenging any particular permit, just saying the way that it's being used now seems to be inconsistent with the conservation designation. So I'd like a legal declaration about whether or not this should be a urban use. And your position is, even though declaratory judgments are available, it wouldn't be available in that context. So tell me, where does she go? Where does the chair of OHA go for relief?
Well, first, I think that the LUC properly concluded that they didn't have jurisdiction.
Okay. So they go to the planning commission? Are they supposed to go to DLNR? Where then does the community go? Otherwise, you've got an access to justice issue that seems to be pretty significant. You've got the part of the community that is interested in making sure that the laws applied correctly, the land use law, asking for a ruling, which usually is allowed to the citizens, declaratory relief, but where do they go?
And I think that's a very important point you raise, Justice. And where they go is, they go to the Board of Land and Natural Resources when a use is being considered.
The Board of Land and Natural Resources have the power to make decisions about land use classifications? If the declaratory relief that's being sought for the land board is, please tell us whether this is consistent with the conservation district or a different district like the urban district, wouldn't you think the land board would say, wait a minute, we don't make determinations that have anything to do with the urban land use classification?
Right. The Land Use Commission properly decided based on the statutory framework.
I was back with your scenario about the land board. How is the land board going to entertain a declaratory judgment action that has to do with whether or not there is a proper use of the land with respect to its land use classification? Because the land board, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't have anything to do with the urban district.
The Board of Land and Natural Resources doesn't have anything to do with the urban district.
No, as you pointed out, the designation of authority for them is for the conservation district.
Yes, that's what the statute 183C.
So I don't see how the chair of OHA can get help from the land board.
If the chair of OHA had a concern about a particular use.
But we're talking about the broad issue of a land use designation. Should it be urban or should it be conservation? And to say that the Land Use Commission doesn't get to decide that would imply that the state ought to give some relief to this part of the community. Where do they go?
Relief on the question of uses are with BLNR. That's what the statutory framework says. And if there's an issue with a use allowed by BLNR, that's where they would participate. But there are also other opportunities to participate under 183C3, where BLNR has authority to develop rules. They have developed rules, HAR, HOI administrative.
Council, I'm sorry. Could you direct me to which statute uses the word exclusive?
Chapter 183C-3. I'm sorry, it may not provide have the word exclusive, but provides that the Board of Land and Natural Resources has.
So there is no statutory language saying exclusive, is that right?
Not exclusive, but authority over.
Doesn't Article 11, Section 2 say the legislature shall vest in one or more executive boards or commissions powers for the management of natural resources, which are defined under Section 1 to include land? But it's, it also says that land set aside for public use other than a reserve for conservation purposes need not be placed on the jurisdiction of such a board or commission. Doesn't Article 11, Section 2 seem to suggest that there's nothing in Article 11, Section 2 that says the Board of Land and Natural Resources shall have exclusive jurisdiction over everything to do with conservation lands, right?
Article 11 does not say that.
And is there anything in 205 that says the Board of Land and Natural Resources has exclusive jurisdiction to decide anything and everything to do with conservation land?
Well, the statutory framework, again, is that the Land Use Commission places lands in one of the four districts. The counties have jurisdiction over urban lands. Board of Land and Natural Resources have governance over conservation district, making uses, deciding what those uses are, issuing permits. And then there's some shared jurisdiction in the agricultural and rural district. And in fact, under Chapter 205, there's a enumerated list of all kinds of things that may be allowed or not allowed in the agricultural district. And that framework just doesn't apply. That's not how the legislature set up uses in the conservation district.
So getting back to my question to prior counsel, if the BLNR were to grant a CDUPs for the construction of multiple high-rise condominiums and wastewater treatment plants within a conservation district, the Land Use Commission lacks subject matter jurisdiction to say that's not permitted.
Well, that's correct, because the Board of Land and Natural Resources determine use.
And the people are powerless except to file an appeal to set aside any grant of such a CEDA.
Well, they have two opportunities to participate. One is in the rulemaking that determines these.
Right, but if they don't have the money to file some sort of bond to stop all this stuff, there's no power except to file an appeal. That's the university's
position. After participating in the contested case hearing process for particular uses. And I have to also add that under 183C4, it specifically prohibits waste or disposal facilities in the conservation district.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. And I think high-rise developments are prohibited too, as a matter of common sense and under all of the statutes.
Right. And actually more explicitly than just common sense, because the rules that were adopted for the conservation district list allowed uses, and only those uses may be granted a permit either by the Board of Land and Natural Resources, the department, and some of them require master plans. So, for example, astronomy facilities, which are an allowed
use. I understand your argument. My only concern is whether it's an issue of subject matter jurisdiction or whether it's an issue of deferring to the discretion of BLNR.
Well, I think those are two separate questions. One is subject matter jurisdiction for the LUC, and I suppose the question for the court is whether they should defer to the agency's expertise in the area that the legislature granted.
Right, but that's not the ruling here. The ruling here is LUC has no subject matter jurisdiction whatsoever to address any issues of whether uses are appropriate pursuant to the four characterizations, if it's a conservation district.
And that's what the legislature clearly intended when it wrote 205 and 183C.
Mr. Suki, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead, CJ.
No, I was going to see if Mr. Suki was ready to wrap up, but if you have a question, please go ahead, Justice Wilson.
Well, you've made a broad statement about the intent of the legislature, and if you want to provide any specific authority for the proposition that the legislature carved out half the state, the conservation district, removed the authority of the Land Use Commission to make a decision on something as critical as the top of Mauna Kea, that was its intent. And even in areas where there's no conservation district use permit. I mean, I had thought that the argument was somewhat limited on the part of the Land Use Commission to perhaps parcels where there'd already been a decision made by the land board, like conservation district use permit. But as I understand it now, you are taking away, that might be an exaggeration, but you're interpreting the law to mean that the citizens of this state have no declaratory relief rights when it comes to the conservation district if they're challenging its use from the point of view that it's inconsistent with its land use classification.
Yeah, I don't think that's our argument, Your Honor. Our argument is that—
Well, then I'm still interested. What do you say to the chair of OHA that wants help and wants this declaratory relief?
Right, and I think that opportunity to participate in the process is at the Board of Land and Natural Resources, because that's where the legislature placed it. And there's no legislative history in our briefing on this, because the law is clear on its face. It specifically says that the Land Use Commission places lands in districts, and the Board of Land and Natural Resources is responsible for determining uses.
All right. Anything else to wrap up, Mr. Suki, before we hear from Mr. Shinyama?
No, thank you, Your Honor. That's all I have.
Very well. We'll again switch out the podium, and then we'll hear from Mr. Shinyama.
Good morning, Chief Justice, Justices of the Supreme Court. My name is Ross Shinyama, and I represent TMT International Observatory LLC, or TIO. TIO's interest in this particular appeal, as well as the underlying LUC proceeding, is and was as a sublease lessee of the lands on Mauna Kea. It is also the owner of the TMT project, which currently has a valid Conservation District Use Permit, or CDUP, to build TMT on Mauna Kea. The CDUP for the TMT project was obtained after the project went through the lengthy and importantly correct statutory and regulatory process before the Department of Land and Natural Resources and the Land Board, a process that this court reviewed and ultimately affirmed on appeal. It is based on these significant interests and to protect these significant interests that TIO intervened in the underlying proceeding as well as this appeal. Now, my argument will focus entirely on the issue of whether the LUC correctly denied the petition. And a lot of has been said, but and I think this court is well aware, but this was not a petition for a district boundary amendment. This was not a contested case hearing. This was a petition for declaratory order under HRS 91-8. And specifically, what the Kanaheles were asking was a declaratory order from the LUC that observatories on Mauna Kea individually and cumulatively are not permitted uses in the conservation district.
Is that really what they requested? It was my understanding that they requested, what they were saying is that because there's 13 telescopes there now, it's really now a industrial use that's only allowed under the urban district. And that was the declaration they were seeking.
Your Honor, request number one talked about current uses not being appropriate for the conservation district, being more appropriate for the urban district. That was request number one. Request number two said that further industrial uses, so future uses, as CJ Brechtenwald has alluded to, are improper for the conservation district and would require a district boundary amendment to be obtained by someone. I don't know who, because I don't think anyone really believes that Mauna Kea should be anything but a conservation district. But they're saying someone should bring a district boundary amendment. Why? Because they want to oppose that.
Is it your position that this was dismissed, that this court lacks subject matter jurisdiction over this appeal?
Yes, Your Honor. We did raise that in our brief. We also raised that in a motion to dismiss.
What if the LUC had granted the declaratory relief sought, which would have completely, and the LUC said that TMT cannot be built because this is not appropriate. This is not appropriate.
Then we would have appealed it to the circuit court.
And it is your position that the legislature did not intend Act 48 to allow a direct appeal to this court based on such a declaratory ruling, despite the law saying they're aware of our cases, including the Lingle decision, which had held that declaratory orders are treated the same as contested cases for purposes of appeal, has the same status as a contested case.
Yes,
for under 91-8 and 91-14.
I apologize, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. Act 48, as we all know, which provided for these direct appeals, clearly articulated.
You're truly taking the position that if the declaratory order had been granted, you would have appealed to circuit court and you would have, or environmental court, and you would concede that this court did not have jurisdiction pursuant to Act 48.
We would have been required to follow the correct statutory framework in place, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Just help me with that. When we make a decision that says, no, we're not taking direct appeals from the Land Use Commission, and in addition to that, we're not going to interpret Lingle to say that a declaratory relief decision is a contested case decision, and therefore We aren't going to allow this process that's anticipated in Act 48 that speeds up the decisions on, for example, conservation district use permits in the conservation district, speeds it up right to our court so that we don't have to wait on projects like TMT. You think that that would be consistent with the legislative intent?
Your Honor.
Wouldn't that just delay things in a way that's inconsistent with the intent? Because it means it has to go down to the circuit court before it comes to us?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because declaratory orders aren't going to adjudicate permits at the end of the day. And so it's really the permit and the expediency of approval or disapproval of those permits that resulted in Act 48 and the legislature having that urgency. And so at the end of the day, the declaratory order procedure isn't going to adjudicate a permit issue.
So do you agree with Mr. Collins that the outcome of this case is not going to impact existing projects? I'm trying to understand where this might go if we were to vacate and remand for consideration on the merits.
Yeah, and I appreciate you raising that, Your Honor, because I disagree with Mr. Collins's preview of potential next steps. I'm not in any way insinuating that he's trying to misrepresent or mislead the court, but he's obviously just one attorney out there. If I believe the next steps clearly are, if we received an unfavorable ruling from this court, it would be remanded to the LUC. And if the commission did in fact hold that a district boundary amendment should be held or pursued, then they would take the position that TMT, as well as the other observatories, would be required to obtain that district boundary amendment, changing Mauna Kea from a conservation district to an urban district, which again, no one wants that to happen. The observatories don't want to change it.
Couldn't the LUC just as easily rule that it has subject matter jurisdiction, but it's up to the BLNR to decide reasonable uses, and this the LUC is deferring under the facts of this situation?
I think the commission's decision, Your Honor, finding that it lacked subject matter jurisdiction was multiple reasons. One is clearly, as we've already talked about extensively, the fact that HRS 205-5 clearly explicitly says conservation districts shall be governed by the Department of Land and Natural Resources and pursuant to Chapter 183C. The other thing is, as you are aware, the Land Use Commission is a creature of statute. It can't do what the statutes don't allow it to do. And in fact, the Land Use Commission does not have the ability to sua sponte, redistrict, or reclassify any boundaries because the statute allows for two ways. One is petition for a district boundary amendment by either a state agency, a county agency where the land is situated, or individuals who have a property interest. So that's one way. And let me be clear, the Kanaheli.
So the Land Use Commission is not a state agency, but under that definition?
It has to be a separate state agency, my understanding, Your Honor, because they can't be the one proposing it.
What law do you cite for that proposition that the Land Use Commission could not be the initiating agency?
Well, that's just my interpretation, Your Honor, of the statute. I'm not saying that
So there's no law that says that?
I'm not aware of one, Your Honor.
Thank you.
But I do think because they are the decision-making body, they shouldn't be the one proposing the boundary amendment. And the only other statutory authorization for redistricting comes from the Office of Planning, which Justice Nakayama brought up.
Shinyama, the Office of Planning, you're suggesting, should make decisions with respect to the four land use classifications that are specifically spelled out for the Land Use Commission?
Well, Your Honor.
And your point about how, because it's a decision-making body, in answer to Justice McKenna, it can't be the state agency instituting a boundary change would seem to go contrary to its duty at a certain Well, I think a certain straightforward interpretation of its duty is to administer the land, and what would limit its authority to initiate a land use change?
Well, I think if you're the proposing party as well as the decision-making party, Your Honor, respectfully, I think you run into some issues with respect to predetermination, cart before the horse, as this court is well aware of. And so that's what I'm alluding to. But the Office of Planning actually intervened in this LUC proceeding.
Just to get clear about your position in terms of whether there can be a declaratory judgment in a situation such as we have here, where you've got a lot of controversy around this parcel, we can all agree. Let's assume, and this is to some extent something that was discussed by the chair in his stating his position that the Land Use Commission should issue a declaratory judgment. But let's assume that the Land Use Commission is asked to make a decision by your client. The University of Hawaii decides this might be a good way to bring the community together, do it with expertise. So we're going to raise the issue in the declaratory for a declaratory judgment about whether there should be a land use change with respect to this parcel. Is it your position that you'd be precluded, the University of Hawaii would be precluded from going to the Land Use Commission for a declaratory judgment that would say the proper use of the mountain consistent with our land use classifications is whatever it decides? But are you saying you don't have the opportunity, the University of Hawaii doesn't have the opportunity to seek that kind of a declaratory judgment?
Your Honor, if I'm understanding your question correctly, I believe the proper avenue would be a petition for district boundary amendment. If there's some disagreement with respect to the boundary lines, the appropriate mechanism is a petition for district boundary amendment.
I'm taking that to mean that you think you wouldn't have the authority to ask for a declaratory judgment. I mean, whether that's the appropriate approach or not, it would seem that the right to ask for a declaratory judgment is one that's often used in our community. And this is something you're addressing for the first time, but would it be your position that you wouldn't have that option? The University of Hawaii wouldn't have the option to ask for a declaratory ruling?
Not if it involved uses within the conservation district, which is what we have here, Your Honor. Because at the end of the day, the statutes make clear that the division with respect to conservation district is that the land board has jurisdiction and shall govern the conservation district.
And well, it's not just the conservation district. This is a declaratory judgment the University of Hawaii brings to decide whether or not the land use designation should be conservation or urban. So you're suggesting that that's something that goes before the land board, which would seem to be awkward since the land board doesn't seem to have any authority to make decisions on urban.
Your Honor, the land board has the authority to evaluate whether or not a use in the conservation district is consistent with the conservation district. With respect to each of the observatories on Mauna Kea, the land board has in fact done that.
You've just made my point. They make a decision as to whether the uses are consistent with the conservation district, but they don't make a decision about whether it is something that's consistent with an urban classification.
But what matters is whether or not it's permitted within the conservation district and whether or not it's a permitted use in the conservation district. And it's not just an individual permit.
Well, that's what you think matters. It might be that part of the community feels that it would be useful to find out that kind of a decision.
Your Honor, I
won't belabor the point.
I appreciate you. And just to talk about the community, Your Honor, and all I can talk about is my client, my project, TMT. The community has had many opportunities to voice its opinion, one of which was a 44-day contested case hearing that this court is well aware of, that resulted in a an opinion by this court.
Counsel, is it your position that petitioners, plaintiffs here were seeking a de facto seeking a district boundary amendment?
No, they're not seeking a district boundary amendment. They may.
Could they have?
I don't believe that they fall into the categories of individuals or entities that permit a petition for district boundary.
2054 says any person with a property interest in the land sought to be reclassified may petition the Land Use Commission for a change in the boundary of a district. This section applies to all petitions for changes in district boundaries of lands within conservation districts. Yeah, and so what if they had just brought a petition?
Well, that's not the case, but with respect to property interests here, the administrative rules implemented by the LUC are very limited in terms of what constitutes a property interest in this context.
And then, but this court does have cases that actually define property interests for that might go beyond the LUC's definition.
In the context of entitlement to a contested case hearing, constitutional due process, I'm very well aware of sort of that definition of property interest, but that is not the case here. It's a different definition, but more importantly, nowhere in the LUC proceeding or in this appeal did the Canaheles ever assert that they had a property interest based upon Article 12, Section 7 or otherwise that would permit them to petition for a district boundary amendment.
Mr. Shinyama, we're well over your time, but if you'd have a few brief remarks to wrap up, then we'll hear from Mr. Kahn.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Your Honor. Let me just end with this point, because there's been discussion between the justices about what was looked at by the land board in terms of individual versus cumulative observatories. And the land board, in fact, did take a look at the cumulative number of observatories on Mauna Kea. In fact, it imposed special conditions in the CDUP that requires the number of observatories on the mountain to be reduced.
Counsel, we're aware of the decision. We're aware of that. So let's focus on the issues in this case.
Okay.
And well, it might be worth pointing out that the chair of the Land Use Commission said what we have is incremental decision making with no one ever looking at the entirety of the summit and the impacts. That process, very clearly from the record of this proceeding, does not allow for that possibility. Even if cumulative impacts were looked at the in terms of the last CDUP issued.
And I apologize, Justice McKenna. I was just trying to address the comments from the court.
Sure.
But Justice Wilson, you just used the word incremental. Actually, this court's majority opinion in the TMT case considered the incremental argument on 143 Hawaii at 403-404. And so all of this was considered by this court when it approved the TMT project. And with that, Your Honor, Your Honors, thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Shinyama. We'll change out the podium and then we'll hear from Mr. Collins in rebuttal.
May I ask how much time?
Well, we have that's a minute, a little over a minute, but I'll give you additional time, Mr. Collins. It's been allowed counsel for the on the other side to go over their limits. So at least if you want to go aim for 5 minutes, if that'll do, I want you to try to bring it in at 5 minutes.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Your Honor. I first want to say I misspoke earlier. 20518 was amended by Act 153, Section 5 of Act 153 last year, and that actually removed the mandatory nature of the, it actually abolished the Office of Planning and removed the mandatory nature of the five-year boundary review, which of course the Office of Planning hadn't done for decades, and made it discretionary and not required by the new Office of Planning and Sustainable Development. So I want to apologize that I was referring to the law before it was amended last year. The Office of Planning doesn't exist anymore, and five-year boundary review is no longer mandatory. I wanted to note, since we were on the topic of the matter of the conservation district use application, the court specifically said in the majority opinion, we opined in Kila Kila 3, however, that the BLNR does not have license to endlessly approve permits for construction and conservation districts based purely on the rationale that every additional facility is purely incremental. It cannot be the case that the presence of one facility necessarily renders all additional facilities as an incremental addition. And I would note also that in Neighborhood Board 24, Waianae Coast versus the Land Use Commission, at 64 Hawaii 265. This we cited, it's in the record in appeal. Unlimited use of the special permit to effectuate essentially what amounts to a boundary change would undermine the protection from piecemeal changes to the zoning scheme guaranteed landowners by the more extensive procedural protections of boundary amendment statutes. And so I just want to point out that 205.5, which does confer zoning authority on the land board, also confers zoning authority in the non-conservation districts on the counties, subject to a couple of exceptions regarding special uses in the agricultural district and so forth. But that itself does not oust the Land Use Commission's authority to determine which lands should be in which districts. The standards for how the Land Use Commission is to make that determination is in statute at 205-2E for the conservation district itself. That power has not been assigned to the land board at all.
Mr. Collins, what about the jurisdictional argument that there may be a right to appeal, but it should have gone to the circuit court or the environmental court?
Your Honor, Act 40... So Lingle versus HGA was decided before Act 48, and the legislature is presumed when it passes laws to know what the law is when it passes that law. And it made no carve-out exception to have declaratory orders go to the circuit court. I mean, without 91-14B, there'd be no authority for any appeal of declaratory orders. And that statute says, except it says that final actions or preliminary decisions of a contested case are to be appealed to the circuit court or the environmental court. And then at the end of the section, it says, except for where a statute assigns direct appeal to the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals. That's the basis for it. And there is the LUC's final decisions from the LUC's contested cases are one of those accepted statutes that come directly to the Supreme Court. If the legislature had intended otherwise, they would have said something. And I actually would like to call the court's attention to the conference committee report and also the standing committee report of the Senate for Act 48, where it said that the purpose of Act 48 was to substantially reduce the time required to resolve disputes regarding the actions of those agencies by making these disputes subject to review only by the state's highest court. That's the standing committee report 67-16. And the Senate standing committee report, sorry, this conference committee report, the standing committee report of the Senate 3082 says the purpose of Act 48 was to reduce the number of decisions and appeals in an already cumbersome land use entitlement process that will create a predictability and certainty and reduce the risk currently associated with Hawaii's land use entitlement process.
Isn't that what Mr. Shinyama argued, though, that it was about land use entitlement, in other words, about permits? So it wasn't necessarily meant to speed up this kind of process on a declaratory relief, but actual land use permits?
Well, Your Honor, it's for land use, it says here, land use entitlement process, and the Land Use Commission making a determination about the suitability of certain lands for a certain boundary is part of that process. I didn't see anything in the committee reports that focused specifically on permits. I mean, the PUC's rate making cases aren't permits, and those are also subject to the same
permits entitlement processes.
I'm sorry?
Aren't permits entitlement processes?
Permits are entitlement processes, but so are declaratory orders by the Land Use Commission. Landowners use the declaratory order process from the LUC routinely. to guide future conduct. And that's exactly what the Conahellis are asking for here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Collins, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no.
There's, you know, a suggestion that perhaps the proper way to bring this up would have been through a district boundary amendment. What's your view as to whether that process would have been available to the Conahellis? And if so, whether it would provide the full range of relief that you sought in this action?
Well, the petition definitely has significant support for the Conahellis' property interests in this matter. With respect to, I mean, the issue is do the Conahellis want this land to be in the urban district? I mean, that would be why you would apply for a district boundary amendment. And if they don't want it to be in the urban district, then they wouldn't apply to have the boundaries changed for the urban district. And this may come back to what is the ultimate remedy, or, you know, three processes from now, if this case were remanded, what would be the remedy? And I have to say that, you know, in a lot of human rights litigation, a declaratory judgment or declaratory order by a court or even an executive agency acting in a quasi-judicial manner, you know, that itself is many times a remedy, and sometimes the only remedy for persons with rights that cannot be otherwise vindicated. And so I would just say that I'm not sure what kind of cause of action there would be, if any, and I mean that sincerely, because I think that a declaratory order by the Land Use Commission stating the things that the Conahellis have asked for itself would uphold the dignity of the rights of the Conahellis and others that are enshrined in our state constitution. And that itself, I think, is a full remedy for the things that they're asking for.
Well, Mr. Collins, I want to be sure you have the opportunity to respond to anything else that you think is important or to wrap up for the court today.
Your Honor, just one more thing. I can't emphasize enough. 2055 is the land use statute has two separate parts to it. One is the defining what the different districts are. And then once land is in a district, 2055 comes in and says, what entity is the entity that governs the uses within those districts? And the entity is generally the counties, except for the conservation district, which is the land board. There's nothing in 2055 that in any way said, well, once that occurs, the counties and the land board oust the jurisdiction of the Land Use Commission to ever change the boundaries, because otherwise there would be no district boundary amendment process. And so the power to determine in which district land should go in remains with the Land Use Commission. And that is definitely one of its core powers that is not ousted because the land board govern zoning within a district or the county.
How's that relevant when the Conahellis don't want a boundary change?
Well, the declaratory order is prospective in nature, right? It's not seeking to undo anything in the past.
They want to keep it conservation, right? They just don't want the uses. So just the fact that they can change it, how is that going to help the Conahellis?
Well, the resolution of whether there should be, I mean, if there is going to be any further development, if there needs to be a district boundary amendment into the urban, they would be entitled, along with others, to participate in that process and protect their property interests. But the fact that they wish there to be a declaratory order stating that, you know, as a matter of law or as the position of the Land Use Commission, that is the way that they can protect their property interests best from this issue of incremental development, which essentially acts as a de facto district boundary amendment, citing both Kila Kila 3 and the Neighborhood Board Wai'anae case.
Very well, Mr. Collins, anything further for the court at this time?
Your Honor, I would just like to conclude by asking this court, the Conahellis asked this court to reverse the commission as to its determination that it lacks subject matter jurisdiction and remand for further proceedings. If the commission, as a matter of policy, wishes to defer to the land board or take some other action, that should be done on the basis that it has jurisdiction, not on the basis that it lacks jurisdiction.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Collins. Thank you to all our attorneys for your arguments here today. The court will take this matter under advisement.
Eku iluna, please rise. Ua ho'oku'u ia mai ne kea aha ho'okolokolo ki'ike hanohano o ka moku'aina o Hawaii. This Honorable Supreme Court of the State of Hawaii is now adjourned.